Time is running out. I only have an hour to talk. So let's get on it. This is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42. You have heard that being said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, this is Jesus talking. When Jesus talked, nobody went to sleep. That you did not resist evil, whatsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That means that is 2 miles. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that will borrow at thee, turn not thou away. This is Jesus talking. And what is this all about? What is Jesus talking about here? That we should go, let's concentrate on the verse that says that we should go the second mile. What is he talking about? You mean Jesus to do a second double duty? Not only 1 mile or 2? And he says, that's exactly what I say. Go 2 miles. Well, in order to understand, we have to go to the background. The Romans are ruling, they were ruling the land of Palestine at that time, learned a secret from the Persians. The Persians that at one time too ruled the world, and they had a secret. The secret was that wherever they conquer these people, they can tell any civilian. Oh, they were on the journey, the soldier will choose any civilian and say, look, by law you must carry my weapons, my backpack, my canteen, everything I have. And they had to do it. That was the law at that time. How would you like to have that law now? Somebody will tell you, you got to carry this for a mile. And he said that every youth boy will mark the mile from his home. He knew exactly where a mile was because he was going to carry that burden, but not one step further. So he knew how to do it. And according to historians, the Roman soldiers really enjoy making things impossible for the Jews. They really enjoy it. What is what I call this when I prepare the sermon? What is the principle of this? What is the principle of going the second mile? We're going to concentrate on the second mile. Why did Jesus say go the second mile? What did he mean by that? What results does it have? We're going to know all that. When this is all over, we're going to know why. You're talking about these Jews being humiliated by the Roman soldiers. And so much resentment was in them, so much rebellion to carry another man's burden for a mile. They can never accept that. But Jesus said that we should go the second mile. And I was reading the other day that a farmer went to buy a car from a dealer. And later on, the dealer went to buy a cow from the farmer. And this is how the farmer sold the cow to the dealership. Basic cow, $400. 2-ton extra, $45. Extra stomach, $45. Produce storage compartment, $60. Dispensing device, 4 spigots, $10 each, $40. Genuine cow hide upholstery, $125. Dual horns, $50. Automatic flash water, $35. And a few things that he added end up with $895 for a $400 cow. This is among the people listening to Jesus was the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law. They keep they keep the letter of the law. And that's how they were like this farmer. They were willing to do what is right and no more. So what is the principle of this? That we should do more that is required, more that is expected. Go the second mile. Now, I want you to look at it secondly, the practice of this. It doesn't mean that Jesus, when he said you turn out the other cheek, that means that Jesus wants us to be doormats, that we can never defend ourselves, that we can never defend our loved ones, that we gotta lay down against sin and let evil take over? Is that what Jesus said? Not at all. Jesus came, and you notice in that Sermon on the Mount, he came to fulfill the law. He said he not came to diminish or to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And one of the things is that on the law that we had to defend ourselves, defend our loved ones, defend what is ours. Jesus never intended that. Now, we live in a wicked world. We live in a wicked, and man has to be restrained. It's not easy to live in this world peacefully. As you read in Romans, he said, the Apostle Paul describes, if it is possible, live all in peace. Sometimes underscore that. It's not possible. At this time, I would like to tell you that in 1952, the Summer Olympics was getting ready. All the nations, they got their athletes ready to go and compete. And at that time, nobody has run the mile in less than 3 minutes. Nobody has run the mile in less than 3 minutes. A young boy from England surprised the world. He ran the mile in less than 3 minutes. Oh, the world got so excited. They wanted to see Floyd Bannister competing in the Summer Olympics. But boy, it didn't take too long before another boy from Australia with a dark complex beat Bannister Mark by running the mile in less time than Floyd Bannister. The Committee of Olympics talk about this, and they decided to put the two men to run together, only the mile. Boy, he was going to make his history. The time came when they put him on the field and the track, and they were ready, and they said, oh, the stadium was full. Nobody on the streets. At that time, very few TVs, so they got to attach to a radio. It was going to be making history. The two best runners in the world, they want to compete. So when they got into arena, everybody got excited. But I must tell you one thing, that John Landy from Australia had a strategy. He would like to go first. And all we see with the side of his eye is his rival was coming close to him. He pulled more speed on his legs. He never want to be behind. So that was the idea, to go in front of Floyd Bannister. The speakers were announced at the start that in a quarter of a mile, they were beating their own time. Half a mile, they were making a record. Three quarters of a mile, they were way ahead of the record. But John Landy, he wasn't happy. Something happened. Although he looks on the side of his eye, he never saw Floyd Bannister. What happened? He told himself, what happened? Did he ever fall? What happened? Never saw him. So just before a few yards to get to the line, to the finish line, he looked all over to look for Floyd Bannister. At that time, Floyd Bannister passed him like a lightning across the line. Sometimes in life, we do the same thing. We took off our eyes from Jesus Christ that is on the other side and take a look we turned and we lost control. We lost Jesus. This is the practice, what it says right here in Romans. We already read that, and since the time is going, I'm not going to read it anymore. It says there that Jesus is talking about going the second mile, is that we are not supposed to take revenge, personal revenge. That's what it's all about. We're not supposed to take personal revenge. By going the second mile, we let God take care of it. He will repay. And some people think that God is pacifism. Some people think that when you turn the other cheek, when you do all of these things, that God is teaching pacifism. Well, you're wrong. You think God is a pacifist? You're wrong. He is not a pacifist. He says there that the soldier, the army officer, they carrying a wound to hurt and to wound. So he's not a pacifist. If you think he's pacifist, you're wrong. He's not. He say that he will repay. If somebody hits you with an open hand, have you ever been slapped on your face? I mean, somebody with an open hand hits you in the face? It's not, probably not be a good experience, isn't it? Well, the Lord said that Jesus, what spit on his face and was slapped on his face, and he did not answer back. He just turned the other cheek. That's what he's saying, that we should defend ourselves, but at the same time, let Jesus take revenge. Number three, I want to talk about the power of the miracle mile. The power of the miracle mile. That if we don't practice this, we will never have the joy that with this the miracle mile will produce. In the first mile, which is the slave mile, second mile is the love mile, it will really change your attitude. In the first mile, you being a victim. At the second mile, you are a victor. And the first mile, you being controlled. At the second mile, you are controlling. First mile is the low mile. Second mile is the love mile. First mile only makes you bitter. You hated every step of the way. Second mile gives you joy. And you can walk while you go the second mile, you can whistle. First mile, you being conquered. Second mile, you conquer yourself and you conquer the man that made you carry his burden. First mile is a tragedy. Second mile is victory. That's what it is, going the second mile. You going the second mile not because you've been forced to. You go in the second mile because you want to. You want to do it on your own. And let me tell you what other thing can do the second mile. It can make you a success. All successful people in this world, most of them, they've been a second mile. I was really reading about Milton Wilson, where he founded one of the founders of the Holiday Inn. He was brought to talk to a group of high schoolers. And he said, to be success, you only have to work half a day. Half a day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make it a difference whether it be the 12 hours or the second 12 hours. Half a day. Most of these, Henry Ford, eccentric. Eccentric, but he was a genius. He is the one that founded the Ford organization. He bought the Lincoln factory that was in Detroit that was losing money. And he wanted to get this thing humming and making money. So he got somebody cut a log from a tree, and placed it on the elevators that were going to the second floor. And everybody, the next morning when they come in, stenographers, executives, secretaries, just go with the law and went to work. Maybe they comment about it, but nobody did anything. The maintenance people just clean up around the log and nobody did anything. The log stayed there for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, Henry Ford called all these people and said, I put that log in there. Nobody wanted to know about it. Nobody did anything about it. Nobody do nothing. Nobody move it out of there. So now all of you are fired. Put his son Edson there to get this thing going and start making money. Yes, I type letters. I do this thing. This is not my business. I had nothing to do with logs in front of elevators. But if you don't do what the second mile requires, this is going to happen very often. If you are like me, watching the clock at work all day long to see when is the time to go home, you will never get paid for what you never did. You only pay for what you did, and there is a difference. And number three, I want to tell you about the the power of the miracle mile. It will tell you about the joy that you won't have any other way. Here, let's go back to 2,000 years ago. Here comes a Roman soldier. He sees a Jewish boy working in the field. And he says, you, hey, you, come here. Pick up this. I'm tired. The Jewish waved his teeth. He said, who are you? Comes over him or something. What did you say? Nothing. He picks it up and says, look, mister, I want to carry this. You're a soldier and you are in power. There's nothing we can do. I want to carry this for you. But someday, we're going to be on top and you're going to be under. And I just wish that I can meet you someday. So he picks it up. Walk the distance, there's a mile mark. He dropped it and said, there, I done it. Go back to work, but he's too angry to work. Decided to put everything away, went home, and his wife said, what happened to you? He said, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. He said, well, eat some supper. I don't want to eat anything. It's an inferno going into. He has been forced to go a mile. But take a look at this, the second boy, a Jewish boy. He's working in the field, same as the first one. And here comes a soldier. This boy heard the sermon on the mount by Jesus. And the soldier said, hey, you, come here. Are you talking to me? I'll be there. Pick this up. I'll be glad to. He picks it up and starts walking. This Roman soldier said, what's wrong with this man? He's sick. He's sick. So they start walking and say, tell me about your family. Tell me when you became a soldier. And they start going into a conversation. And pretty soon they come to the end of the mile. And he said, well, thanks so much. You've been so nice to me. You've been so nice to most people. I really appreciate it. And the Jewish boy said, wait a minute. A mile from here, there's a dweller water. I'm sure you're thirsty. This is heavy. I'm thirsty too. Let me carry this for another mile. So they got into the road again. They start conversing. They start, tell me more about your family. Tell me how's Rome looks like. So pretty soon they got to the mark, and while they were drinking water, the Roman soldier say, I got to confess something to you. I really want to confess something. I hated you. I hate you guys. I thought you had a race with no principle, no character, nothing, so I'm sorry, but I can see you're different. And the Jewish boy said, well, the same heart that beats in your chest, I got one the same beats the same way in mine. And the Roman soldier said, why did you go an extra mile? Tell me why. You didn't have to, but why did you do it? And the Jewish boy said, have you ever heard of a man called Jesus? Many of us, we think he's the Messiah. I was in the Mount of Beatitudes And I heard her preaching an incredible message. And he's the one that told us, when you guys ask us to go a mile, we're supposed to go two out of love. Who is that Jesus? Did he say that? Yes, yes, he says so. Who is that Jesus? Tell me more about him. I really would like to know about that Jesus. You think that will open up the door to witnesses? Do you think that will open up the door to tell who Jesus is? When we start walking the second mile, brothers and sisters, that's when the opportunity comes. That's why Jesus says, go the second mile. I don't understand why many people are debating themselves. They don't want to give their heart to Jesus. A preacher was preaching, and he was preaching about Jesus, and he gave a call. And when he gave a call, everybody was coming in. And a little girl did not understand. She asked her mother, what are those people doing? And she said, they're going forward to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And the little girl said, why don't we all go? That's a good question. Why don't we all go? I tell you, Jesus, the Son of God, was a second miler all of his life. All of his life. He was a second miler. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned against him in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, you would have think that he would have stayed in heaven and let Adam and Eve trying to find him. But you heard his voice, Adam, where are you? It wasn't the voice of the detective looking for a delinquent that broke the law. It was the voice of a loving father with a broken heart looking for his beloved son. Where are you? In every scene of his life, you've seen Jesus walking the second mile, even take it to Calvary, being crucified, shedding his blood for you and me, walking the second mile as an example for us. It doesn't matter. And let me say this. It doesn't matter if you love Jesus. It doesn't matter if you serve Jesus. It doesn't matter. It's a matter of surrender all to him. It's a matter of say, Jesus, I give myself, I give my life to you. If I have 1,000 lives to live, I will give everyone to Jesus. It's surrender. No matter, it doesn't matter. Many people say, I love you, I serve you. But we do not surrender all to him. And that's what he's waiting for us to surrender all to us. There is no closing prayer, no benediction. This song is the benediction. After this, we are dismissed.